In a constantly changing world, where countless voices compete for our attention, the ability to distinguish between true success and fleeting achievements is paramount. Stephen Covey, in his groundbreaking book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, offers us a roadmap towards achieving enduring success, one that is rooted in sound character and timeless principles. In this video, we will embark on a transformative journey, exploring the essence of Covey's philosophy and gaining a deeper understanding of the 7 habits that can revolutionize our personal and professional lives. We will discover how we can shift from merely managing our time to effectively managing ourselves, how we can move from dependence to independence, and then to interdependence with those around us. Whether you are a student, a professional, a parent, or simply someone seeking to reach their full potential, this video will provide you with practical insights and actionable tools to become more effective in all aspects of your life. Prepare to challenge your assumptions, adopt new habits, and unleash a hidden power within you that you never knew existed. Join us as we delve into the 7 habits and discover how, by embracing them, we can live a more productive, meaningful, and fulfilling life. Habit 1. Be proactive. The heart of proactivity, it's all about choice. Imagine this. You're in a packed subway car, minding your own business, when suddenly a man and his kids burst in. The kids are going wild, yelling, throwing stuff, the whole 9 yards. The man? He's just sitting there, eyes closed like it's nothing. Infuriating, right? You're probably thinking, what a lousy parent. Control your kids. But then, the man speaks. Their mother just died, he says softly. Boom! Your whole perspective shifts. Suddenly you see the situation through a completely different lens. You feel compassion instead of anger. You want to help, not judge. That's the power of proactivity. Proactivity, more than just taking initiative. Being proactive isn't just about taking initiative, though that's part of it. It's about understanding that you have the power to choose your response to any situation. You're not a victim of your circumstances. You're not a robot programmed to react in a certain way. You have free will. The ancient Stoics were all about this. They said, "The chief task in life is simply this, to identify and separate matters so that I can say clearly to myself which are externals not under my control, and which have to do with the choices I actually control." Epictetus, one of the big names in Stoicism, put it even more bluntly. It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. Breaking free from the reactive trap. Many of us fall into the trap of reactive thinking. We blame our problems on external factors, our past, other people, the economy, you name it. We say things like, "I'm so stressed because of my job," or "I can't help being late, it's just who I am." Sound familiar? It's easy to fall into this trap. But the truth is, this kind of thinking keeps us stuck. It makes us feel powerless. It stops us from taking control of our lives. The proactive mindset, flipping the script. Proactive people, on the other hand, take responsibility. They understand that they can't always control what happens to them, but they can control how they respond. They focus on their circle of influence, the things they can change, instead of their circle of concern, the things they can't. Think about Viktor Frankl, the guy we talked about on the subway. He was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp. Talk about a tough situation. But even there, he found the freedom to choose his response. He chose to focus on his inner life, on finding meaning even in the midst of suffering. That's some serious proactivity. Everyday proactivity small choices, big impact. You don't have to be in a concentration camp to practice proactivity. It's about the choices you make every day. Stuck in traffic? Instead of getting angry, you could use that time to listen to a podcast or catch up on some calls. Boss dumps a ton of work on you at the last minute? Instead of panicking, you could take a deep breath, assess the situation, and come up with a plan. Friend cancels plans at the last minute. Instead of feeling hurt, you could use that time to do something you enjoy solo. These may seem like small things, but they add up. Each proactive choice strengthens your proactivity muscle, making it easier to make the next choice and the next. Proactive language. Words matter. The way you talk also reflects your level of proactivity. Reactive people use language that makes them sound powerless, while proactive people use language that empowers them. Reactive. I have to work late. Proactive. I choose to work late because it's important to me. Reactive. She made me feel so bad. Proactive. I chose to feel hurt by her words. See the difference? It's subtle, but it's powerful. The 30-day challenge. Put it into practice. Covey suggests a 30-day proactivity challenge. For 1 month, focus on your circle of influence. Make small commitments and keep them. Be a light, not a judge. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. It's like a mental boot camp for proactivity. It's tough, but it's worth it. Wrapping up, the power of perspective. Being proactive is about taking ownership of your life. It's about understanding that your choices, not your conditions, determine your destiny. It's about seeing challenges as opportunities and setbacks as stepping stones. It's like the famous quote from Nietzsche, "He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how." Proactivity gives you that why. It gives you the power to shape your own life, to create your own happiness, to leave your mark on the world. So, are you ready to step into your power and be proactive? If you liked this video or found it useful, don't forget to hit the like button, share it with your family and friends, and write "keep it up" in the comments below. Habit 2. Begin with the end in mind. The big picture. Visualizing your ideal life. Imagine this. It's your funeral. Stay with me here. It's not as morbid as it sounds. You're looking down at yourself, and all the people you love are there to celebrate your life. What are they saying about you? What kind of person were you? What did you accomplish? What impact did you have on their lives? Heavy, right? But it's a powerful exercise. It forces you to think about the legacy you want to leave behind. It helps you connect with your deepest values, the things that truly matter most to you. The two creations, blueprint for success. Covey says that everything is created twice. First, there's the mental creation, the idea, the plan, the vision. Then, there's the physical creation, bringing that idea to life. Think about building a house. You wouldn't just start laying bricks, would you? No way. You'd start with a blueprint, a detailed plan of what you want to create. That's the first creation. Then you'd follow that blueprint to build the actual house. That's the second creation. The same principle applies to your life. If you want to create a life that's meaningful and fulfilling, you need to start with a clear vision of what you want that life to look like. That's your personal mission statement, your blueprint for success. Leadership versus management, the right jungle. Covey makes a distinction between leadership and management. Management is about doing things right. Leadership is about doing the right things. It's like a group of people hacking their way through the jungle. The managers are sharpening the machetes, making sure everyone's working efficiently. But the leader is the one who climbs the tallest tree and yells, "Wrong jungle!" In other words, leadership is about vision, about direction. It's about making sure you're headed towards the right destination. Management is important, but it's useless if you're in the wrong jungle. Your personal mission statement, your North Star. Your personal mission statement is your compass, your North Star. It guides your decisions and actions, helping you stay on track towards your ultimate goals. It's not something you write overnight. It takes time, reflection, and a lot of soul searching. But it's worth it. It's the foundation of a principle-centered life, a life that's built on what truly matters most to you. Living your mission, walking the talk. Once you have your mission statement, it's time to live it. It's about aligning your daily actions with your deepest values. It's about making choices that move you closer to your ideal life, even when it's hard. Remember, you're the programmer. You write the code. You run the program. You have the power to create the life you want. Everyday examples, bringing it to life. Let's bring this down to earth with some everyday examples. Career. Maybe your mission is to make a positive impact on the world through your work. So you choose a career that aligns with that mission. You make daily choices to learn and grow in your field. You look for opportunities to contribute and make a difference. Relationships. Maybe your mission is to cultivate deep, meaningful relationships. So, you prioritize spending quality time with your loved ones. You practice active listening and empathy. You make an effort to understand and appreciate their perspectives. Personal growth. Maybe your mission is to become the best version of yourself. So, you set goals for personal development. You read, you learn, you challenge yourself to step outside your comfort zone. You make choices that support your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. The bottom line, it's your life, design it. Begin with the end in mind is about taking control of your life's narrative. It's about creating a life that's intentional, meaningful, and fulfilling. It's about living a life that you'll be proud of when you look back on it, even at your own funeral. So, what's your end in mind? What's your blueprint for success? What legacy do you want to leave behind? It's time to start thinking about these things. It's time to start creating the life you truly want. Remember, the power is within you. You're the creator, the programmer, the architect of your own life. So, start designing, start building, start living with the end in mind. Habit 3. Put first things first, the bridge between vision and reality. Think of it this way. Habit 1 says, you're the driver. Habit 2 says, choose your destination. Habit 3 is all about hitting the road and actually getting there. It's about taking the wheel and navigating your life according to your own map, not someone else's. The ancient Greeks had a word for this, praxis. It's not just about knowing what to do, theory. It's about actually doing it. It's about bridging the gap between thought and action, between intention and execution. The time management myth. We often talk about time management, but Covey argues that's a bit misleading. You can't really manage time. It ticks on regardless of what you do. What you can manage is yourself. It's about prioritizing your actions so that you're spending your time on what truly matters. Think of your life as a jar. You've got big rocks, your most important things, pebbles and sand. If you fill the jar with sand first, there's no room for the big rocks. But if you put the big rocks in first, the pebbles and sand will fill in the gaps. That's habit 3 in a nutshell. The urgency addiction, the quadrant. Eye trap. Most of us are addicted to urgency. We get a rush from putting out fires, meeting deadlines, and responding to the latest crisis. That's quadrant 1, important and urgent. But if we're constantly in quadrant 1, we're always reacting, always stressed, always on the edge of burnout. It's like the famous quote from Seneca, "There is nothing the busy man is less busy with than living." If we're always caught up in the urgent, we never have time for the important. The quadrant 2, sweet spot, where the magic happens. Quadrant 2 is where the magic happens. It's about the important but not urgent activities, things like building relationships, planning for the future, learning new skills, taking care of your health. These are the things that make a real difference in the long run, but they're easy to neglect because they're not screaming for your attention right now. Think of it like this. Quadrant Y is about putting out fires. Quadrant 2 is about fire prevention. It's about investing time now to prevent problems later. It's about building a life that's sustainable, not just survivable. Saying no to the good so you can say yes to the best. To make time for Quadrant 2, you need to learn to say no to other things. That means saying no to some Quadrant 3 activities, urgent but not important, and definitely saying no to Quadrant 4, not urgent and not important. It's like the famous quote often attributed to Steve Jobs, "Focusing is about saying no." It's about having the courage to say no to the good so you can say yes to the best. Real life examples, putting it into practice. Let's see how this plays out in real life. Student, instead of cramming for exams, quadrant one, a proactive student plans ahead, studies regularly, and seeks help early on if needed, quadrant above. This leads to better grades and less stress in the long run. Parent, instead of constantly nagging their kids to clean their rooms, quadrant one, a proactive parent sets clear expectations, teaches their kids how to clean, and holds them accountable, quadrant two. This leads to more responsible kids and a more peaceful home. Professional, instead of constantly reacting to emails and putting out fires, quadrant one, a proactive professional sets aside time for strategic planning, networking, and professional development, quadrant two. This leads to career advancement and greater opportunities. The weekly perspective, zooming out for clarity. Covey recommends planning your week, not just your day. This allows you to see the big picture, to make sure you're making time for all your important roles and goals, not just the urgent ones. It's like planning a road trip. You wouldn't just focus on the next rest stop, would you? You'd map out the entire journey, making sure you're headed in the right direction and making time for scenic detours along the way. Delegation, the key to leverage. Delegation is a powerful tool for putting first things first. It's about empowering others to take responsibility, freeing you up to focus on higher level activities. Think of it like this. You're the captain of a ship. You don't need to swab the decks yourself. You need to chart the course, lead the crew, and make sure the ship reaches its destination. The bottom line, it's about living your priorities. Put first things first is about more than just managing your time. It's about managing your life. It's about aligning your actions with your values, your vision, your personal mission statement. It's about creating a life that's truly meaningful and fulfilling. As the philosopher Thoreau said, it's not enough to be busy, so are the ants. The question is, what are we busy about? Habit 3 is about making sure you're busy about the right things, the things that matter most. So are you ready to take control of your life and put first things first? If you liked this video or found it useful, don't forget to hit the like button, share it with your family and friends, and write "keep it up" in the comments below. Habit 4. Think win-win. The win-win mindset, it's not a game. Imagine you're at a company meeting and your boss announces a sales contest. The winner gets an all-expenses-paid trip to Bermuda. Sounds great, right? But what about everyone else? They're all set up to lose. That's the problem with a win-lose mentality. Covey says win-win isn't just a technique. It's a whole philosophy of life. It's about seeing life as a cooperative arena, not a competitive one. It's about believing there's plenty out there for everyone and that one person's success doesn't have to come at the expense of others. The ancient philosopher Aristotle talked about a similar idea. He believed in the concept of eudaimonia, often translated as flourishing or happiness. But it's not just about individual happiness. It's about the well-being of the entire community. It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected and that true success involves helping others succeed as well. The 6 paradigms of human interaction. Which one are you? Covey outlines 6 paradigms of human interaction. 1. Win-win. I win, you win. We both get what we want, and we build the relationship in the process. 2. Win-lose. I win, you lose. I get my way, even if it means you don't get yours. 3. Lose-win. I lose, you win. I give in to keep the peace, even if it means sacrificing my own needs. 4. Lose-lose. I lose, you lose. We both end up worse off, often due to stubbornness or a desire for revenge. 5. Win. I win, and I don't care if you win or lose. My own needs are all that matter. 6. Win-win or no deal. We either find a solution that benefits us both, or we agree to disagree agreeably. Think about your own interactions. Which paradigm do you tend to fall into? Most of us have been conditioned to think in win-lose terms, but in reality, win-win is often the most effective approach, especially in long-term relationships. The win-win character, building the foundation. Win-win isn't just about skills or techniques. It starts with character. Covey highlights 3 key traits. 1. Integrity. It's about being true to your values, keeping your commitments, and walking your talk. Think of it like this. Would you trust someone who says one thing and does another? Probably not. Integrity is the foundation of trust, and trust is essential for win-win. 2. Maturity. It's about balancing courage and consideration. You need the courage to express your own needs and convictions, but also the consideration to understand and respect the needs of others. It's about finding that sweet spot between being assertive and being empathetic. 3. Abundance. Mentality. It's about believing there's plenty out there for everyone. It's the opposite of the scarcity mentality, which sees life as a zero-sum game. People with an abundance mentality are happy for the successes of others, and they're more likely to share recognition, credit, and rewards. Win-win in real life, from the boardroom to the bedroom. Win-win isn't just for business negotiations. It can apply to any area of your life. Workplace. Instead of competing with your colleagues, you could collaborate on projects, share ideas, and celebrate each other's successes. This creates a more positive and productive work environment. Family. Instead of power struggles and arguments, you could focus on finding solutions that meet everyone's needs. This builds stronger relationships and a more harmonious home life. Friendships. Instead of keeping score and trying to one-up each other, you could genuinely support and celebrate your friend's achievements. This deepens your connections and creates a sense of mutual respect. The challenge of win-lose: turning adversaries into allies. Dealing with people who are stuck in a win-lose mindset can be tough. But remember, the key is the relationship. Focus on building trust, seeking to understand their perspective, and looking for creative solutions that benefit you both. It's not always easy, but it's worth it. The bottom line: win-win is a win for everyone. Thinking win-win is about creating mutually beneficial outcomes. It's about building relationships, fostering cooperation, and finding solutions that make everyone feel good. It's not always the easiest path, but it's the path to true success and lasting happiness. So, are you ready to embrace the win-win philosophy? Are you ready to create a life where everyone wins? Remember, it starts with you. It starts with your character, your relationships, and your commitment to finding the best possible outcome for everyone involved. As Covey says, win-win is not a personality technique. It's a total paradigm of human interaction. It's a way of thinking, a way of being, that can transform your life and your relationships. Habit 5. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. The communication breakdown: we're all about ourselves. Picture this: you're venting to a friend about a problem, and all they do is talk about their own similar experiences. Or maybe you're trying to explain something to your partner, and they just keep interrupting with advice. Frustrating, isn't it? The truth is, most of us are terrible listeners. We're so focused on our own thoughts and feelings that we barely hear what the other person is saying. We're too busy preparing our response, filtering everything through our own lens. As the philosopher Epictetus wisely said, we have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. Empathic listening: the key to connection. Covey introduces the concept of empathic listening. It's not just about hearing the words, it's about understanding the meaning behind them. It's about seeing the world from the other person's perspective, feeling what they feel. Think of it like putting on someone else's glasses. You're not just looking at the same thing they are, you're seeing it through their eyes. You're understanding their reality, their feelings, their motivations. The four autobiographical responses, the listening traps. We often fall into the trap of responding autobiographically. Covey outlines four common ways we do this. 1. Evaluating. We judge, we agree, or disagree. You shouldn't feel that way. 2. Probing. We ask questions from our own frame of reference. Why did you do that? 3. Advising. We give counsel based on our own experiences. Here's what I would do. 4. Interpreting. We try to figure people out based on our own understanding. You're just saying that because these responses are natural, but they get in the way of true understanding. They shift the focus back to us, not the person we're trying to connect with. Empathic. Listening in action, a real-life example. Imagine a teenager telling their parent, "I hate school." An evaluative response might be, "That's a terrible attitude. You should be grateful for your education." A probing response might be, "Why do you hate it? What's going on?" An advising response might be, "Just stick with it. It'll get better." An interpreting response might be, "You're just saying that because you failed that test." An empathic response might be, "Sounds like you're feeling really frustrated with school right now. This simple statement validates the teenager's feelings and opens the door for further communication. The power of understanding, filling the psychological air. Covey uses the metaphor of psychological air to describe the human need to be understood. Just like we need physical air to breathe, we need psychological air to thrive emotionally. When we feel truly understood, it's like a breath of fresh air for our souls. Empathic listening is the key to providing that psychological air. It creates a safe space for people to open up, to share their deepest thoughts and feelings. And when people feel understood, they're more likely to be open to your influence and to work collaboratively towards solutions. Beyond words, listening with your whole self. Empathic listening isn't just about words. It's about paying attention to nonverbal cues, body language, tone of voice, facial expressions. It's about using your intuition and your heart, not just your ears. Think of it like reading between the lines. Sometimes what's not said is just as important as what is said. Empathic listening is about picking up on those subtle cues, those unspoken messages. Real life application. From the playground to the boardroom. Empathic listening is a superpower. It can transform your relationships, improve your communication, and help you navigate even the most challenging situations. Parenting. Instead of lecturing your kids, try truly listening to their concerns. You might be surprised what you learn. Relationships. Make an effort to understand your partner's perspective, even if you don't agree with it. This can lead to deeper connection and more effective communication. Workplace. Take the time to listen to your colleagues and employees. This can foster trust, boost morale, and lead to more creative solutions. The bottom line, understanding is the gateway to influence. Seek first to understand, then to be understood, is a game changer. It's about shifting your focus from trying to be understood to truly understanding others. It's about putting aside your own agenda and genuinely connecting with another human being. As the Dalai Lama said, when you talk, you are only repeating what you already know. But if you listen, you may learn something new. Empathic listening is about opening yourself up to that learning, that new perspective. It's about building bridges of understanding, one conversation at a time. So, are you ready to become a more empathic listener? Are you ready to deepen your connections and create more meaningful relationships? Remember, it starts with a simple shift in perspective. It starts with seeking first to understand. Habit 6. Synergize. Synergy. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Imagine a band playing a concert. Each musician is talented on their own, but when they play together, something incredible happens. The music they create is more than just the sum of their individual parts. It's a symphony, a harmonious blend of sounds that evokes emotions and moves the soul. That's synergy. Covey defines synergy as, "The whole is greater than the sum of its parts." It's about recognizing and valuing differences, and then using those differences to create something new and better. The ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus had a similar idea. He believed in the concept of harmonia, a kind of dynamic tension that arises from the interplay of opposites. It's this tension, this creative conflict, that leads to growth and progress. The essence of synergy. Valuing differences. Synergy is all about embracing diversity. It's about recognizing that everyone has their own unique strengths and weaknesses, and that by working together, we can achieve more than we ever could alone. Think about a team project at work. you have the analytical thinker, the creative brainstormer, the detail-oriented organizer, and the charismatic presenter. Each person brings something different to the table, and when they combine their talents, they can create something truly remarkable. The courage to be open, embracing vulnerability. Synergy requires openness and vulnerability. It's about being willing to share your ideas, even if they're half-baked or incomplete. It's about creating a safe space where everyone feels comfortable contributing without fear of judgment or criticism. This can be scary. It's much easier to stay in your comfort zone, to keep your ideas to yourself. But as the poet Rumi said, the wound is the place where the light enters you. It's through vulnerability, through opening ourselves up to others, that true connection and creativity can happen. Synergy in action, real-life examples. Synergy is everywhere once you start looking for it. In nature. Think about a beehive. Each bee has its own role, but together they create a complex and efficient system that produces honey and sustains the colony. In relationships. Think about a couple who combines their different strengths and interests to create a fulfilling and dynamic partnership. In the workplace. Think about a team that overcomes their individual limitations and biases to develop innovative solutions and achieve remarkable results. In communities. Think about a group of neighbors who come together to address a local issue, pooling their resources and talents to make a positive impact. The third alternative, beyond compromise. Synergy isn't about compromise. It's not about finding a middle ground where everyone gets a little of what they want. It's about finding a third alternative, a solution that's better than anything anyone could have come up with on their own. Imagine two friends arguing about where to go for dinner. One wants Italian, the other wants Mexican. Instead of compromising on a mediocre fusion restaurant, they could brainstorm and discover a new place that offers both cuisines. Or maybe they decide to cook a meal together, combining their favorite dishes from each culture. That's the third alternative. The role of habits. 1-5. The foundation for synergy. Synergy doesn't happen in a vacuum. It builds on the foundation of the first five habits. Be proactive. You need to take responsibility for your own actions and choices. Begin with the end in mind. You need a clear vision of what you want to achieve. Put first things first. You need to prioritize your actions and focus on what's important. Think win-win. You need to believe in mutually beneficial outcomes. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. You need to genuinely understand the perspectives of others. These habits create the internal security, the open communication, and the collaborative mindset necessary for synergy to flourish. The bottom line, synergy is the ultimate win. Synergy is about creating something greater than the sum of its parts. It's about recognizing and valuing differences, embracing vulnerability, and working together to find creative solutions. It's not always easy, but it's the path to true innovation, connection, and success. So, are you ready to unleash the power of synergy in your life? Are you ready to collaborate, create, and achieve more than you ever thought possible? Remember, it starts with you. It starts with your willingness to be open, to listen, to value differences, and to seek the third alternative. As Covey says, synergy is the essence of principle-centered leadership. It's about tapping into the collective genius, the shared humanity that lies within all of us. It's about creating a world where everyone wins. If you liked this video or found it useful, don't forget to hit the like button. share it with your family and friends, and write "keep it up" in the comments below. Habit 7. Sharpen the saw. The woodcutter's wisdom, the importance of renewal. Imagine you're strolling through a forest and come across a woodcutter tirelessly hacking away at a tree. He's been at it for hours, sweat pouring down his face, but he's barely made a dent. You suggest he take a break to sharpen his saw. His response: "I don't have time to sharpen the saw, I'm too busy sawing." Sounds a bit silly, doesn't it? But how often do we do the same thing in our own lives? We get so caught up in the busyness of life that we neglect to take care of ourselves, to renew our energy and resources. That's where Habit 7 comes in. Sharpen the saw, the four dimensions of renewal. Covey compares self-renewal to sharpening a saw. Just like a dull saw makes cutting wood harder and less effective, neglecting our own well-being makes life's tasks more challenging and less fulfilling. He outlines four dimensions of our nature that need regular renewal. 1. Physical. Taking care of your body through exercise, nutrition, and rest. 2. Spiritual. Connecting with your core values and finding meaning and purpose in life. 3. Mental. Expanding your knowledge, learning new things, and stimulating your mind. 4. Social, emotional. Building and nurturing healthy relationships and contributing to the well-being of others. The ancient Greeks recognized the importance of balance in life. They believed in the concept of sophrosyne, often translated as moderation or self-control. It's about finding the right balance between all aspects of life, not overindulging in any one area at the expense of others. The upward spiral, continuous improvement. Renewal isn't a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process, an upward spiral of continuous improvement. By investing in each of the four dimensions, we create a positive feedback loop. As we improve in one area, it positively impacts the others, leading to greater overall well-being and effectiveness. Think of it like a garden. You need to water it, weed it, and fertilize it regularly to keep it thriving. Neglecting any one of these tasks will eventually lead to a decline in the health and beauty of the garden. Real-life renewal, practical examples. Let's see how we can apply this habit to our everyday lives. Physical. Instead of binge-watching Netflix all evening, you could go for a walk, hit the gym, or try a new fitness class. You could also make a conscious effort to eat healthier meals and get enough sleep. Spiritual. Instead of scrolling through social media mindlessly, you could spend some time in meditation, prayer, or reflection. You could also read inspiring literature, connect with nature, or engage in activities that bring you a sense of peace and purpose. Mental. Instead of just watching the news, you could read a book, take an online course, or learn a new language. You could also engage in stimulating conversations, solve puzzles, or challenge yourself with new ideas. Social, emotional. Instead of isolating yourself, you could reach out to a friend, volunteer in your community, or simply express appreciation to someone you care about. You could also practice active listening and empathy, and make an effort to build and strengthen your relationships. The ripple effect, investing in yourself. Benefits everyone. When you invest in your own renewal, it's not just about you. It creates a ripple effect that benefits everyone around you. You have more energy and focus to give to your work, your relationships, and your community. Think of it like this. When you're running on empty, you're not much good to anyone. But when you're feeling refreshed and energized, you can show up as your best self, ready to contribute and make a positive impact. The bottom line, self-care isn't selfish. Sharpen the Saw is a reminder that self-care isn't selfish. It's essential for living a fulfilling and effective life. It's about taking responsibility for your own well-being, so you can show up fully for the people and things that matter most. As the poet Audre Lorde said, "Caring for myself is not self-indulgence, it is self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare." In a world that often demands so much from us, taking time for renewal is an act of rebellion, a way of reclaiming our power and prioritizing our own well-being. So, are you ready to sharpen your saw? Are you ready to invest in yourself and create an upward spiral of growth and renewal? Remember, it's a journey, not a destination. It's about making small, consistent choices every day to nurture your body, mind, spirit, and relationships. And as you do, you'll discover that the more you invest in yourself, the more you have to give to the world. You'll become a beacon of light, a source of inspiration, and a force for positive change. In closing, our journey through the Seven Habits is not merely a pursuit of external success, but a transformative journey inward. It's a call to discover our true selves, to embrace unchanging principles, and to live in harmony with the world around us. It's a journey towards achieving balance and wholeness in our lives, where we care for ourselves physically, spiritually, mentally, and socially, emotionally. Let us never forget that true change comes from the inside out. Let us have the courage to challenge ourselves, the patience to grow, and the wisdom to choose our own path. Let us strive to be proactive, begin with the end in mind, put first things first, think win-win, seek first to understand, then to be understood, synergize, and finally, never forget to sharpen the saw. By embracing these seven habits, we can rise above mere existence to a life of meaning and effectiveness, a life marked by continuous growth and purposeful contribution. Remember, the journey towards effectiveness is a marathon, not a sprint. It's an ongoing process of learning, growing, and renewing. So, let us embark on this journey together, encouraging one another, celebrating our victories, and learning from our challenges. Let us strive to become the best versions of ourselves, not just for ourselves, but also for the world around us. Thank you for joining us on this journey. We hope these ideas have inspired you and given you the tools you need to begin your own journey towards a more effective life. Remember, change is possible, growth is constant, and effectiveness is within your reach.